So as we continue in our series of Ephesians this summer, we're winding our way down. We're winding our way through the book of Ephesians. And so we're into this, that Ephesians chapter 5, the kind of the meat of where we really focus in on marriage. And so Paul talks about marriage. Of course, if we're reading Ephesians, you see that he's talking about a bunch of different things. But all of a sudden, he just pops this up on us like, hey, by the way, this is God's standard for marriage, for what biblical marriage is all about. And I love this, the idea of really in this Ephesians book, the kind of going back, we're understanding that the chosen people, the called people, and then equipped people. And so as we read through, I think this has been a good series for even for me to review of God's equipping us. He doesn't just say, here you go, be a great Christian, have fun. He's equipping us. He's equipped us through his word. And so, you know, a lot of times we say, well, we're not really, there's not really a good lesson on how to do this, how to do that. But here's a great lesson on marriage. So if you're single in here today, you don't have to leave. You don't have to tune out. You don't have to play on your phone or anything. If you're single in here today, it's okay. We celebrate your singleness, and that's okay. It's not like you're, just because you're single, you're not anything special or whatever. Singleness is okay, and it's fine. But we're going to be talking about marriage, and yet we're going to be opening up with how Paul talks about in verse 21. So we're in Ephesians 5, and it talks about, in verse 21, he says this. He says, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that very first verse, what we're going to talk about this morning is just simply saying, submitting out of reverence to Christ, to one another. And so you're going to hear this word submit a lot today because it's found in the scriptures. And we want to just talk about that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But someone said that marriages may be made in heaven, but the maintenance must be done on earth. Make sense? Marriage is made in heaven. Of course, God created marriage, but it takes work. The maintenance, the maintaining of it here is done on earth. And so for many marriages to survive, they require regular maintenance. They require effort. But more than that, they require a certain kind of effort. We must do the right things to have successful marriage. God's word tells us that what those things are. God presents his program for a happy marriage in chapter 5 here in Ephesians. Marriage works well only when we pay attention to the roles and the responsibilities that God has mapped out for us. And I want to stress that. I can't stress that enough. The fact is that marriage works well when done God's way. I mean, we're as Christians and as people who are even non-Christians, people are like, yeah, I want the best for my life and I want to do things the best way. And so we see that God has given us the very best practices in marriage. He has mapped out for us. So Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a great picture of Christian marriage. Let's jump into it. Of course, verse 21 lays the groundwork, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife. Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. Verse 24, as the church submits to Christ, So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything we do. And so in the spirit of what Paul is talking about, submitting to one another, Paul describes how this mutual submission is played out in the home as well. I mean, the mutual submission is understanding that spirit-filled believers are to submit to one another because they humbly seek to serve one another. And I'm telling you what, we could preach on verse 21 all day long. We could camp here for a little while and just understand that to submit to one another, it's simply saying, I'm not right, you're not right, we both have an opinion, but we submit, we respect each other in our differences. We respect one another, and so to humbly seek to serve each other. And I always thought, you know, it's like, I always tell my kids, you don't have to be right all the time. You know what I mean? I teach that to my family, that it's okay. Even though you may know you're right, you don't have to be right. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like, you don't have to be the person who wins in the room. My dad always taught this in a marriage. He always told me this. He said, you know, if you and your wife are in an argument, you are not the one who needs to win. Because if she's a loser, you don't ever want to marry a loser. If you think of it that way. If you're always calling, or you're always the right one and she's always the wrong one, that means she's a loser. And I remember my dad said, you don't want to marry a loser. And so when we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, we're serving each other. So our commitment to our spouse is a function of our commitment to God. Function. This passage in no way diminishes the equality of women as subservient or less than men, but the focus is on God-given roles and functions. God-given roles and functions. And so if you think of a team, nobody has any problems with a team with different roles, different ideas, different positions, different jobs to do. And people think, well, that's normal. That's normal. But when God says there's different functions and roles and responsibilities in a marriage, people kind of go, well, wait a minute, we should be equal. We should all do the same thing. So I'm not sure why those people feel that way, because it's God's given roles and functions of the team that works well. We were at Jack's soccer game yesterday, and it was interesting. You look at the different roles of that team. If the goalie decides to say, I really want to score a goal against the other team, that goalie just can't leave his position, run across the field, and try to score a goal, because it would leave an important role vacant for the other team to score. And so just the same is true with marriage. As we think of biblical marriage, this is the idea that the functionality, the God-given roles and functions are there to provide success in a marriage. So this word submission, understandably one of those weird words that have been abused, I believe, in our society. This word submission, a lot of people don't like that because it makes you feel like, oh, I'm weaker, or I'm the abused, or I'm a victim. And so when we really think about what submit is, it's a decision to voluntarily place yourself under your husband's authority. It's to give a place to his position as God-ordained leader, as the God-ordained leader of your home. And so we submit unto the Lord. And you're really submitting to Christ's authority to your husband. So some of the reasons for biblical submission is the husband is the head of the household, is the head of the wife. This is the established pattern of creation. And so if you have an issue with the established pattern of creation, you better take that up with God. The pattern repeated in Scripture as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but there is one thing I want you to know, that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so God puts this, there's a functionality that God created that we've got to be aware of. So this also reflects that Christ's relationship with the church. A wife submits as the church submits. Husband leads as Christ leads. This caring leadership, not a controlling. And so when I think of the word submit, there's others in Christianity that have maybe defined this word a little bit better, and I kind of like it a little bit better, but it's the word respect. It's the word respect. So the word submit and respect, I think, can go hand in hand. There's this mutual respect, or the wives must respect your husbands. And so what I like to think of is, as a man, as a husband, I do desire respect. I think men in the room, men listening online, I think you can identify. It's just that thing that we need for some reason. God created us to have that respect, whether it's from your wife, whether it's from others. That's just who God created us to be. Call it a love language, if you will. When someone offers respect to you, you feel that, well, thank you, I appreciate that. I respect you too. But the opposite is true. When somebody disrespects me, I don't like it. And in fact, I don't like you. Just kidding. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, like, at the time. It's like, no, you just disrespected me. I'm not going to like you right now. I just don't like you right now. So when there's that disrespect, and I'm thinking, like, in marriage, I've counseled so many marriages in my ministry. One of the biggest things that I come in contact with in a marriage situation is lack of respect. All the husband wants is just to be respected, but in fact, the wife treats him like the worm he is. Well, he's just lazy, or he's just doesn't do this, or he doesn't do that, it's just a lack of respect. And so when I think of this changing that word, not that I'm changing scripture, I'm just simply adding a little bit of flair to that word submission. It's that respect is so important. So here's some things that destroy biblical respect. A couple of things. Qualifying respect or qualifying submission. This is where a woman may say, I will follow my husband if, right? I will follow my husband if, you know, the only occasion in which you should not follow your husband if he asks you to go against God's word. So that's qualifying. That's just simply saying, if he does this, then I'll give him respect. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Grudging submission. Here's another one. I will follow my husband, but I don't like it if. No, you follow, but not joyfully. That's that grudging submission, not being joyful. How about faithless submission? I will follow my husband, but I'm afraid he won't lead us properly. Have you ever thought that, wives? That's fair, but that's not great. You know, I will follow my husband, but I'm afraid he won't lead us properly. You follow, but you're not doing it with confidence in the Lord and in your husband. Those are those wives that think their husband's dumb, right? I mean, like you're not going to follow the actual person you married. I mean, did you marry a dummy? I don't think so. That's that faithless. Like I'll submit or I will respect him, but I think he's going to go the wrong way anyway. So we'll see what happens. That's not a great attitude. He's not dumb. And then like another one is like forced submission or forced respect. You know, what's where the husband says, I will make you follow me. Husbands, you're never told to enforce this rule, or you're never told to enforce this. And so you got to be careful on that one. That's a slippery slope. And so as we think of that respect, that wives will respect their husbands, think about those things in your lives that, yeah, I can respect him more. I will not continue to demean him or call him out on things of what he's doing, and being careful of that, being submissive and respectful. And then verse 25 goes on as Paul kind of flips the coin here. And he says this, he says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. And so when the lady and the women are saying you need to be respectful of your husband, the flip side or the additional role, the complementary side is men, husbands, you have to love your wife. And so you just kind of can't say, oh yeah, I love my wife. Sure, here's some flowers, honey. Just picked them up from the cemetery. That's not love. That's not love. That's just a sign of. I mean, true love is so interesting when we break it down. This word agape love is that love. The Greek word agape is that love, that the love of God for us, that he loved us so much, John chapter 3. He agape us so much that he gave his one son to die for your sins. And so when you think of husbands, as you think of yourself as having that love of the Father toward your wife, you need to check your scorecard. You need to check your scorecard to say, do I love my wife enough to nourish her as I nourish my own body? Do you love your wife enough to care for her? Do you love your wife enough in realizing that she is a part of you? That agape love that God has for us. Husbands, Christ gives his life for the church. Would you give your life for your wife? And some may say, sure, I'd die for my wife, but men, would you actually live for her? Would you actually live your life in service, in love toward your wife? Husbands, if we take an inventory, we may soon know the answer, how much you love yourself versus how much you love your wife. How about your checkbook? How about your bank account? How about your credit card? Guys, how much do we spend on ourselves versus how much do we spend on our wives? How about your calendar? How about your time? Men, do you spend more time golfing than you spend with your wife? Do you spend more time bowling? Do you spend your more time hunting? Do you spend your more time, you fill in the blank, than you spend with your wife? Yeah, wives, you can do this really quick. Give them the elbow. I already saw some of you doing it. I mean, right? I mean, how much time are you spending with your wife? And do you enjoy it? That's the key. You're not just throwing some time there, but enjoying spending time. You know, there's people that are, I'm telling you, I'm a weird pastor, I think. But I don't golf. I don't golf. I know how to golf. If I do say so myself, I'm pretty good at golf. I am. I used to golf when I was younger and as a kid, and I grew up around golf, and it was one of those things. But you know what? I would rather spend time with my wife than on the golf course. And it's not that just because I don't like golf. It's just I always think, like, I just don't need another thing to do because I love my wife, and she doesn't golf. Maybe we can take up golf now. Got some extra time on our hands in the next couple months. You see, it's just, I want to spend time with her. I don't want to be out with the guys on a golf course. How about our speech? Does our speech communicate tender affection and encouragement to our wives? I mean, understanding and appreciating. Rachel will, I mean, I can give her stuff, and like, she likes stuff, by the way. I mean, she likes me getting gifts, but a great compliment goes way, way, way farther than a dozen roses. Now, she'll say, I like roses. But if I compliment her, if I say, wow, you look stunning today, which I've never said like that because that's just creepy. But I just said, wow, you look great today. Or you know, I really like that outfit. Or have you lost weight? No. Anyway. So just that whole idea of our speech, does that communicate love and tender affection? How about our prayer time? Are we praying for our wives? Men, are we praying for our wives? That's huge. I mean, do we continually express gratitude to God for our wives? That's love. Do they contain references to her needs? Do our prayers understand her hurts, her responsibilities, her challenges? Are we praying? You see, the beauty of God's pattern for marriage is that it answers our deepest needs. You see, a wife's greatest need is to be secure in the love of her husband. A husband's greatest need is to be respected by his wife. And I believe God made us that way. He created us with these relational needs in marriage. When wives submit to their husband's leadership, he finds it easier to love her. When he loves her selflessly, she finds it easier to respect or submit to him. It's this beautiful pattern. Let me say that again. When wives submit to their husband's leadership, he finds it easier to love her. When he loves her selflessly, she finds it easier to submit to him. This is the beautiful pattern. And I'm telling you, it works. It works. I wouldn't be standing here saying all of this as if it was just baloney. It works. It works. And so when she offers me the respect that I need so much, I take it as, wow, you really love me. And she submits to me, and she's respecting me in that way. I, in turn, want to share and show love in multiple ways to her. And so as the church moves forward, as the church moves forward in this new season of ministry, it was, we had a ministry lead team here at the church that we discussed vision and we discussed what the next step is, and we discussed many things. And so one of those things, one of the largest things that we've discussed was men's ministry. And men's ministry isn't just us hanging out, having pancakes and eggs on a Saturday morning. We discussed the fact that men need to be biblical men. Men need to step up to the plate and truly learn how to love their wives and truly understand what it means to be a godly husband, a godly man. And so I think that's a fantastic idea. I really do. I felt like God had given us that vision of the church and moving forward, that men, it's cool to excuse me, men, it's cool to go golfing and hang out, and we love to go kayaking and shooting guns and all that fun stuff. But what about us getting together and studying what it learns to love our wives? What a great idea. I mean, what a better idea. You know, we can shoot guns and have fun all we want. There's nothing wrong with that. But what a better idea for us to come together humbly saying, I'm a guy. I need help. I need help. I don't love my wife the way Christ loves the church. What about that? Because here's what happens. In marriage counseling, I see it all the time. There's always fingers to be pointed. And it's always somebody else doing something else wrong. But it's our responsibility is for ourselves. And so, ladies, it's cool to come together, drink coffee, go ride a bike somewhere, whatever ladies do. Guys, it's cool to go shooting and eating hot dogs and whatever guys do, but why don't we work on ourselves? Why don't we work on ourselves? Men, let's work on us. Ladies, work on you. Don't work on your husband. Don't work on your husband. That doesn't work. You know all that already. You can't change him. Guys, you can't change your wife. Work on you. It can happen. I know it can happen. And I know this church would be transformed. It would be transformed if we all just worked on ourselves and marriage and verse 21, mutual respect for each other, submission with each other. And so let's just take some time in prayer today. Let's take some time in personal reflection, and maybe you need to, I don't know, this is cheesy, but I'm a guy and I don't, whatever. Maybe you need to, if you're sitting next to your spouse, grab her hand. Just as a show of love. And let's just pray. Let's just pray. And Lord, we thank you for marriage, and we thank you for the instructions that we have out of Ephesians chapter 5. We're grateful, God, today that you didn't leave us hanging. You haven't left us like wondering or knowing or trying to figure things out. We thank you, God, that you've blessed us with the instructions to making a good team in marriage. And so, God, today we're grateful. I pray for the marriages in here today. I ask that you would just help them to dig deep in Ephesians chapter 5. If there's issues, if there's things going on, allow them to talk. If there's deep, deep hurts, I pray that there'd be healing that takes place. I pray, God, that we would look at ourselves and not just our spouse for their change or for what they need to be doing, but we would look to ourselves, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us how I can be a more biblical spouse. Lord, we give you this. We give you our lives today. In the powerful name of Jesus, Amen.